Next case on our calendar is 96-2268, 96-2334, H.H. Forsyth Winchell versus Donald Birch. Mr. Post.
Association, the board.
5311.4D, it says that the county
not going to the court decision by the human owners. Because it is, it does affect the change in the use. Can these people have their own paid value for this land in the common scheme that they rely on? Condominium documents, all measures of violence and deprivation, certainly the plans and drawings are changing in a situation like this.
If your opponent stands up now and then says, well, you're right about that, counsel, but we were still in the stage of development that permitted us to make these changes without unanimous approval, in other words, because the 44th unit hadn't been built, or because in the declaration, this developer reserved the right to continue to amend. Can he stand up and tell us that that's where they're okay again, because the developer had the right to amend?
Well, Your Honor, all I can say is, you know, if that were the case, and the requirement that the developer file plans and drawings of all the other documents that are required by law, at the inception of this development would be for naught. There would be no reason if they could just change it on an ad hoc basis.
Doesn't the document say that? Doesn't the declaration permit?
In certain circumstances, look at the exact language here. It does provide that the board of directors or the particular unit members, in certain circumstances, can change the bylaws or the other documents. In some cases, the board of directors can. In other cases, the unit members can as well. 75% vote, as long as those are restricted in the law and in the declaration of the final language. They can be altered on the documents as long as it doesn't affect the rights and the interests in common of all the unit members. In other words, it can't affect the other
percentage. Is that again the percentage of interest?
Yes, it does say that. Yes. And it also says that as long as it's not in conflict with the general law or the condominium laws of the state of Ohio, which of course is chapter 51, it does say that. So they can alter and change the mix of units, for example, the types of units, locations, just so the percentage of interest that each individual has, which is 144 in our case, is not changed. That requires, the law says, and the declaration says that that requires 100% unanimous consent for that common area is altered. For example, it would be so fraught or so right for use if it were otherwise, I was mentioning, Your Honor, that the developer, stupid and unscrupulous, conceivably could file a plan that shows a great deal of common area, pretty luxury facilities and so forth, and then starts up and just change these on an ad hoc basis, and that's not fair. That's not what people bargained for, and that's not why the Article of Housing Legislature required that these documents be filed at the inception of the project, and also place such rigid requirements.
But the document will do permit, under 53, the declaration was approved, and it does permit that those sort of changes.
It does permit changes.
And so, in theory, a buyer is aware that these, that this has been set in concrete, even though.
Well, they're not set in concrete, and I would agree with you, certainly, Your Honor, but the law is, it is stated, stated in the law that there can be change as long as that law, as long as those changes don't.
Not change the percentage.
Is it your argument on the percentage change that the Birches here, by getting more the use of more land, albeit a limited area, common area, that has changed? They now have a higher percentage of use than an interest, which the statute says interest, really not ownership, but percentage of interest. That's what causes your client to have to have a reduced percentage of interest. Is that?
Yes, that's fairly stated, Your Honor. It's akin to the Rhymes versus Moreland case. I think the argument that was set out there that I cited in the brief that everyone has in the community has at least 6% less the common area to use for home purposes, such as walking, entrance, egress, that type of thing.
Everyone except the Birches.
Yeah.
That seems to be right. I had a sort of difficult time getting that from the briefs, but that seems to be your argument, that the Birches have more property to use and your client has less. And so as juxtaposed the Birches, your client's interest has been reduced. So then the question is whether it's been reduced pursuant to statute and the declarations. Can you help me with, I had some difficulty also in lining up the timelines here on when the property passed from the developer to the association or to the passed out of the developer's hands. Has it ever? I mean, when does the declaration document superseded by the... Is that important here? It seems to me it would be important, but maybe not.
Yeah, I'm trying to recall the facts. In this case, the condominium document was original about 1991, and in this particular circumstance, and there was also the founding of the association, which is a nonprofit corporation in the state of Ohio. It comes into being, I guess, on the filing of the articles. There are no stock, because of course all the unit members or unit owners are the stockholders, if you will. So their corporation came into being at the same time the original documents were filed. Now, there never was a viable association for a number of years after that. So eventually, this whole project went into receivership. And there was a receiver that acted as the board of directors. And then I believe it was 1984 hereabouts there was an installed board of directors. So the timeline is very close to the case. Nevertheless, it was a developer who served for all practical purposes as the board.
Well, I took it from, I guess I'm wondering on the certified conflict issue, it seemed to me this case maybe is different than the other case, because here the developer, it seems that the developer, at least during the time of all these transactions, still had control, but that's, you're saying that's not correct. In 1994, it went to the board of directors.
The developer certainly had the power, I believe, under the declaration, as I recall. To appoint the board members. So for all practical purposes, he did serve out. The organization was in existence, as you have 2 minutes left. Now, whether or not he appointed the members of the board, he certainly served as the board for all intents and purposes, all reporting documents, and signed on behalf of the board and other things.
Well, I guess my reason for my question is, and I'm not sure I'm correct in this, but doesn't the developer have more leeway in changing things than does the association once the association is formed and the board of directors? Or is that, am I?
I don't believe so. My recollection is that they have similar powers. It's again, the answer to the earlier question, my position, my reading of the statute. Whether the grant was being whether for the share for the stockholders, if you will, was exclusive or non-exclusive, such as the extension of a front half lot outdoors and grass areas. Do all the unit owners get to use that expanded parking area? If they do, it's permissible, it's fine. If they don't, if this designated use of the individuals is impermissible. The front half is what will determine whether the grant diminishes an individual owner's percentage of undivided interest in the common area. So I would say to you that the better rule of law to apply in this case is that the second appellate district in many, many states and jurisdictions, and also 11th District Court case here, finds no parallel that I could discover in any wrong rule of law. And I think that was even suggested to this court by the comments in the current opinion by the presiding judge, Judge Warren. He felt at this time of reevaluation, not by this court, but certainly under the state legislature.
You've used your time, Mr. Thanks. Thank you. Mr. Alpern.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Mitchell Alpern, and I represent the FLE's Birches in this matter. I think this case is really one of communal living, control, and reliance. Communal living is what rights and what expectations do each of us give up when we decide to live as a community with others in condominium law, as opposed to in separate residence or in self-total isolation. The second part of this case is control. Is it the right of one individual who's given up certain other rights to enter into communal living to control what everyone else is reasonably allowed to do within a community development, within a condominium association?
Let me take this a step further. Your client put the deck out, and you're arguing that that does not alter the percentage of use.
That's correct.
You're not arguing that it alters the percentage of use, it alters the legal percentage of ownership. Let me make that distinction. I think that's
what it does not have. It does not change the legal percentage of ownership.
Right, but you can't deny it offers the use of the property over which the deck lies, correct?
I would argue that. And if I might just for a moment, the difference is that this land was common area land to be used under the definition of common land is limited common facilities and general common facilities. The change of use from common facility to limited common facility does not alter somebody's expectation of land. That's the really point of reliance issue.
You can't deny that this gentleman's neighbor no longer can walk over the area the deck occupies.
I would consent to that.
Now, your client decides that there's too many bees and flies out in the evening, so he's going to add a Florida roof, uses the deck as the base, puts on some walls and some windows and some roofs, and now makes a Florida roof. Has that altered the use? Same space occupied.
Has that altered? Well, yes, it's changed it from a deck to a Florida roof.
And how does that change the legal percentage of ownership?
It doesn't.
So you're not going to now add a room to his house, and it doesn't change the ownership?
Number one, I would question the definition of a room under the condominium laws. Number two, that expansion, I suppose if it were approved, I don't know what your scenario is, but assuming that it had been approved, that I would agree that that's valid. What you have to look at here is the reliance on what a party expects to receive when they come into a condominium development. This was a new development. The Winchells looked at, or at least were subject to, the bylaws and declarations, which state these are our draft drawings, which will be amended at the time of the conclusion of the development. That's very important, because they weren't relying on everything being as it was on the preliminary plat, which was designated as a preliminary plat. They knew, in fact, there was going to be a final plat. And a final plat was, albeit not in the orderly fashion, was eventually placed on these condominium units. What they did know, what they had a right to rely on, was that they were going to be a 144th owner in common land. The designation of the commodity,
regardless of how that common land gets used up by
the people. That's absolutely correct. Because the purpose of a percentage of common land, the common facility and condominium, is generally used on how you pay association dues, how you pay to maintain property. Those are the type of reasons why it was felt necessary by the legislature that you can't change the ownership interest without a unanimous vote.
What's the purpose of common land if somebody else can claim exclusive use to it and build on it and claim exclusive right to it? What's the value of the commonality?
Well, the answer to that is, first, an individual isn't claiming it in isolation. They're claiming it with approval of their neighbors. The question is, does there have to be unanimous approval to change the use of a portion of a common facility? I'll give you an example. Let's assume that a condominium association, which is run by a board of managers, determines that it's in the best interest of the majority of the homeowners to develop a playground on common land.
But that's different because everybody used the playground. Not everybody, or unless you're saying that the entire neighborhood could come and use your client's deck at any time they want to. Is that what you're saying?
Well, let me change my scenario. Let's assume that they determine that they're put in individual playgrounds behind each unit, that that's in their best interest.
But everybody gets the same. There's still a distinction in my mind.
Well, everyone in this particular development had the ability to get the same. These are, you have to look at this as a large condominium association, large geographic area. They're very expensive condominiums. They're designed for individual taste. Everyone knew that going in. All these various people submitted plans and have different type of structures and decks placed on their condominium association. And once, as anticipated by the bylaws, once the project reached or nears conclusion, that's when the bylaws were amended. Now everybody in the condominium is still getting a 1/44th ownership interest, but per the documents. The documents say the quantity of land will be determined after the construction. So the quantity of, to use your example, of common facilities that everybody can walk on is anticipated to be altered from the preliminary plans. It's expected to be. It says it right in the documents. So an individual can't, as the appellant argues, they can't come into this relationship and purchase it on reliance upon it. Because the reliance says it's going to be changed. You have no right to rely on what you've got.
So you don't determine here what common area is until construction is complete.
Absolutely correct. All of it is common area.
And then you have percentage of ownership in that.
Well, the percentage of ownership, Your Honor, hasn't changed. Everybody's still a 1/44th owner in common land. But the understanding and intent of these documents is that the quantity of land that becomes common and subdivided from common to limited common isn't going to be determined until the conclusion of the project. That's the whole basis of this case. Now, I would agree with the court that the way this came about was not regular. But you have to, you know, we deal in reality. The owner, which did have control here, maintained for himself control to act on behalf of and ask the board to make the changes throughout the construction. The documents state that when the last condominium is developed or 5 years occurs, and no sooner than that, control will be changed to an association.
Counsel, I'm trying to understand. Could you just paint us a brief word picture of what this whole development looks like with the modifications that took place at the end? What is it? You said these are individualized, look different, designed differently.
Correct.
What else did you tell me? I'm wondering, is you said everybody can be treated the same, so what are the restrictions with respect to these decks? Can you put an apple orchard in your?
Well, now what has happened? To answer the question, you have to look at what's going on here. These are condos under construction as opposed to once constructed and association created. So this is during development. And I think there's a difference between these type of condos during development and post-development once it's turned over to the association. But to answer your question, these are 44 individualized units. There are several design plans for the units, but the developer wanted to leave for himself the ability to alter the units themselves. For example, some units have larger rooms than other units. And then,
if I could interject a question here, you said there are 44 individual units.
Right.
Each condominium stands separately, or are they?
No, I apologize. They are side by side units. So in that sense, there's 22 buildings. There are 44 separate, deeded out, individualized
units. I have copies of the pictures from the record, which are not very helpful to me. And what I'm seeing in one of them is a building, it's a corner building. Now, is that your client's building that shows both a lower deck and an upper deck? Or does your client just have the upper deck?
Well, my client has a patio and an upper deck.
Okay.
So I really can't answer.
Well, by a patio, it looks like it's has a fence around it, as the upper deck does. It would.
Okay, the upper deck would probably, that's true, it would have a road
park. Is your client's condominium on the corner? Am I looking at the right condominium?
It's not on the corner of the street, no.
No, I'm just talking about, isn't connected on one side to another building?
No, yes it is. All of them are, Your Honor. All of the units are connected on one side.
On one side, but they have one side that is unconnected.
That's correct.
Okay, then I have the right condominium.
Okay,
great. Counsel, I guess what I'm trying to understand here is that you talked about the motivations and what you get and what you give up when you enter into one of these. Some degree of uniformity is one of the things that you get. Some degree of not having this kind of condominium with a chain link fence and pit bulls in the common area, and somebody's patio sticking in the common area someplace else, and somebody's apple orchard in a third place.
I agree with that, and that's why in this particular unit during development that those are maintained, controlled, so that there would be that uniformity. But yet, in today's reality of a luxury condominium in excess of $150,000, people want some deviation. You want the exterior, perhaps, to all look the same. If you're gonna build them all to look contemporary, you want them all to be contemporary, you want them all to be brown. You don't want that type of from the exterior, but as far as the interior, the builder wanted to make sure that he had that ability to alter rooms, to make a dimension of the room somewhat different. And more importantly here, the outdoor living space, the builder reserved for himself the right to make the outdoor living space different for each condominium. That doesn't mean different in looks. They're all built out of the same material. They're all built according to the same specs, that type of thing. But to be different sizes, a little bit different dimension. And what happened here is that's exactly what happened. My clients, let's remember, when my clients negotiated to purchase their condominium, they went to the builder, they read these documents, they found the builder had maintained that authority, and they said the only reason we're going to buy here is if we can have a deck a little larger than you have shown us on the model. We want the larger deck. The builder said, no problem. My client goes to all the various cities. It's a township, so he goes to the township and he gets the various permits and approvals, which meet OVBC, et cetera, and he goes out and has this developed, and the builder, rather, builds the deck. Now we have the issue of a neighbor that says, wait a second, I want everything to be in uniformity. I don't want any deviation. I won't allow any change. If that were logic, I mean, the logic of that is that the builder then couldn't cut the grass unless the Winchells agreed he could cut the grass. That's not condominium living. That's not the intent of the law.
I think that's not a very good comparison either.
But if it takes 100% vote to do anything on the common area, then that's the analogy. Let's assume the builder wanted to put up, and in fact it happened, where the builder took common land and wanted to put up a sign at the beginning of the roadway into the development, which previously hadn't been constructed. He would have had to go to the builder and get the approval of the Winchells.
This is common land which now becomes, for all intents and purposes, what we would consider to be the incidence of ownership of one individual unit owner.
Well,
for all intents and purposes, it's been taken out of the common.
Well, I think that the statute is very clear, and the statute refers to percentage of ownership. We haven't changed the percentage of ownership. We've changed what looks like, perhaps we've changed a portion of the use, but that I think is splitting hairs. The same analogy, where your builder put up a signpost, you can't walk across that common land now. You can't cut the grass on that common land now.
The signpost benefits all, not just...
My argument is that having individualized outdoor decks benefits all, benefits everyone. the people can enjoy their common facilities to a greater amount. The difference, if I might, on the Second Circuit case, the Met District, I think conflict.
Do other owners have to go get approval?
Everyone has. 43 other unit owners have modified and changed their decks and received approval. 43 unit owners agreed to the Second Amendment of condominium. 43 unit owners have no objection to everything that's gone on. It's
gonna,
not just a board running. It's,
you're going to get to the question. You're going to get to the question of conflict, because I don't see a conflict between these.
I was going to get to that. I don't see a conflict.
In addition to that, this is factually driven, as they would be in every case.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Second District, the Second Circuit Court, is when they're trying to deed out something, and the case there said a license in this case is an easement. It's a transfer of an ownership interest in a piece of real estate. And that's why they wouldn't allow it there. No other cases have gotten to that issue. My client isn't attempting to own it. He's not attempting to transfer it. He's just modified with the approval of not only the board, but 43 unit owners' approval. He's changed his deck. He's made his deck a little larger. I think that the statute requiring 100% ownership is to change the percentage of ownership. It wasn't intended to change the use of a parcel of land.
Well, let me ask you the same question I asked Mr. Post. As between Birch and Winchell, Mr. Birch has lost some percentage of interest, has he not? Take out, don't consider now the fact that it was done properly, if it was done properly. But Birch had, or Winchell thought he had a certain interest in a common area. That, a certain percentage of that now has been taken by Birch's porch or whatever, deck, and so Winchell's interest has been decreased, has it not? He still has the same interest as everybody else, the other 43 owners. That percentage hasn't changed, but as between Birch and Winchell, it's changed, has it not?
Let me say this, my time is out.
You may answer.
Let me say this, I argued this in my brief, that I think you have to do a balancing. You have to look at what's reasonable under the totality of the circumstances, and here we're splitting hairs. I think under the totality of these circumstances, that the use or the deprivation of use of that small portion of the facility, number one, which the Winchells had no right to rely on per the documents when they
Okay, I'm going to take that out. I understand that's your argument. Right.
And number two, it's the use and benefit of the supermajority versus the minority. Who's in control? That brings me back to the issue of how do we, in community living, which I've pointed out in my brief, if you read in the brief there, you've given up certain obligations, certain rights. And here, where the Winchells entered into community living, they have to be willing to go along with what the majority agrees is in the best interests of the majority. And in this case, it's to expand the outdoor living facilities, albeit limited, you know, changing it from limited from common.
Well, but that doesn't answer the question. Have they lost some percentage of their interest, which they really have, haven't they? If somebody
I would say yes. I mean, if I didn't answer directly,
right.
Yes, I would say they've lost some use of it, but in a totality.
Well, your argument is they've lost it, but they lost it pursuant to the regulations and the rules and law, right?
And not only that, let me just follow up on that, if I might. If you look at the Second Amendment, which has been completed, now that the development is concluded, and that's the whole other issue, they've limited the size and dimensions of decks. Prior to this, while under development, there's no mention of any limitation of decks, but the deck should be in limited common area. So to fix the ambiguities in the bylaws, they went ahead once the decks were built and made them all within limited common area. And that's what the law says, and that's what the developer resigned and reserved he would do, and that, in fact, is what he did.
You've used your time. Thank you, Mr. Alpern. Mr. Post, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
I'm sorry, I have 30 seconds.
30 seconds. See what you can do with it.
I'll have to talk real fast.
Let me ask you a question. This will take up your 30 seconds. And Mr. Alpern says that before all the units were built, the owner had the authority to change the common area, and that's what was done here. And so your client winds up with a percentage equal to everyone else's percentage of the common area that remains after the deck is built. Not a good argument, right?
Not a good argument.
Okay, why?
Article 20.1 of the Declaration of Bylaws, which is consistent with the Ohio Revised Code, does state that does provide the board or the declarant, which is developed with the power to effect any changes in the declaration of bylaws and or the drawings. We're talking about the drawings that are scaled and detailed. As the changes may be deemed necessary, convenient, or appropriate. However, that's modified, restricted by Article 20.1.4, that expressly restricts initiation amendments to situations that are not adversely conditional. Article 20.2, if the restriction provides 75% of the amount of the term, can amend the declaration and bylaws if those amendments don't conflict with the provisions that precede Chapter 5311 or the general law, nor make any amendments to citizens made to the percentage of interest in the common areas and facilities of any unit, except an amendment to the declaration you may have approved by all the unit members. I would just like to make a couple of points.
There seems to be a dispute over that point also. Mr. Halpern says that all the unit owners have agreed to this, and you say they haven't. We're going to find the record someplace to tell us the answer to that, I assume.
Well, first of all, the time that they voted to allow the companies to maintain the deck, they also, the board of directors also voted among themselves to amend the condominium documents. There never was a vote. I think you'll find that also. There was a post-trial evidentiary hearing where the secretary of the board was under examination. I asked her that question, and she acknowledged that there was a poll taken. There are 43 unit owners at this time. There's only about 15 or 18. There never was a bona fide vote taken, either to allow the applicants to keep it back or to amend the condominium documents. Chapter 5311 is very clear on what is required in the way of a vote. Notice and proper proceedings, and so on, not simply a poll. So that's inaccurate. It was not a vote taken. And even there was, obviously, there wasn't 100% unit owners that consented to these amendments. And if I may, there was just a couple other points that I just
very quickly.
And those points are that they were raised that they were taking unanimity to cover grants or a record sign in the justice system. I made an excellent point. The deck gets back to the Second District Court standards, which I think is a very good rule of law, the 11th District. That you look to see whether the right is exclusive or non-exclusive. If you run a right to direct a sign, it's a non-exclusive right. Everyone uses that. Yes, and the same cutting of grass. There are provisions in the articles already by laws provided for the needs of the areas. The final point that I'll make is I believe there is a big distinction between the two courts of appeals and rules of law. And that this is in the nature of an easement. It is a property right. This transfer. Explains that in fact it is. Also encourages the U.S. District Court of the case on the U.S. Fairways Villas. That too makes a distinction. There is an easement. There's a transfer of land. This is subservient to the places in the property. You subservient to the individual owners. It is the
thank you.
Thank you all.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.